know, Harry, I've been studying it for years, and I did start the Do More with Less movement, and it all started with looking at budgets and how the budgets influence college basketball and how it influences scheduling in particular. I mean, an example is the Power Five and Big East, their average men's basketball budget is just under $9 million per team. How do they use that money? It's real simple. They use that money by buying home games in a non-conference schedule. I mean, they play 64% of their games, Terry, and not a conference play at home. And we all know that the home court advantage, especially during that time of the year, is critical to your success. And so they've colluded. It's a cartel. It's legal. But that's exactly what it is. And all of those games that they buy in order to play at home in the out-of-conference season influences every computer metric and every NCAA tournament selection committee member. There's no question about that. I watched those dynamics for years, and fans loved it. Well, from that then, coaches started taking notice, and one coach in particular was Kermit Davis at Middle Tennessee. And so last year, around this time, Kermit called me and said, you know, we're having problems here in Conference USA, and we need your help. Would you be willing to come down and talk to us about a strategic plan around scheduling? And I shared with them all of my research. And, Harry, I've done in-depth research on what it takes to make the tournament, how you can do it, some innovative ways. Ultimately, it came to fruition with Conference USA announcing that they had, you know, adopted the strategic plan that we, and I want to stress that, we had worked on together. I'm really proud to have been part of that process.
In essence, Mark, they're going to kind of pod their teams, the top maybe four teams, the bottom four teams, those kinds of things, to make sure they get quality in-conference games against one another. That's probably too simplistic, but that's in essence what they've decided to do, am I right?
Yeah, Harry, it really is. I mean, because we don't get access to those games unless we go to a home court and play, you know, the Power Five or Big East site. And so even the NTE structure is slanted toward those teams. And so I started looking at how could we be innovative and come up with ways to generate quadrant one, quadrant two games, even within our own conference. And while the media has certainly latched onto that concept, and I understand why. It is exciting. It is new. It is different. The overall comprehensive strategy of out-of-conference, how we position ourselves for non-conference tournaments, the conference tournaments themselves, and how you align and speed those tournaments, and what's the format for those tournaments, all of that comes together for a differentiated strategic plan with a vision of setting up more quality games. I met with Dan Gavitt just a week ago, who's the vice president of basketball for the NCAA, and I asked him what he thought of the plan. He used words like innovative. He used words like brilliant. I mean, in the end, what he told me was, he said, look, anytime you can create compelling matchups, like Q1, Q2 games, coming down the stretch in February, he said, that's what the committee wants to see. I said, well, they watch. He said, absolutely, they will be watching, and they will be impressed with what you've done. And so I was thrilled with the response, not only from the national media, but then to have someone with the Gavitt name basically put a stamp of approval on it. That was a pretty special moment, Harry, I got to tell you.
You have been talking a lot about maybe the upper mid-major teams figuring out a way to use the word collusion before, to collude, to make sure they would play each other. How are we doing there?
Really well. And here's the thing. Here's the challenge that we need to continue to overcome. You know, Harry, when you look at creating an alliance, a scheduling alliance like this, there are a lot of egos involved. And, you know, it's kind of like when you went to the prom and your goal was to dance with the prom queen. Maybe king, I don't know. So you go to the dance and you're all pumped up and I want to dance with that person, you know. Well, the fact of the matter is that person has a date. So at that point then you have a decision to make. You know, do you want to stand and be a wallflower, or do you want to find other peers and people that you like and dance with them? Well, what I see in college basketball today is that there are conferences across the board, all 32, that have a certain view of who they are, and so they don't want to associate with the other kids. You know, they want to be the cool kids, whereas, you know what, some of those nerds are pretty talented kids. They're fun to be around, too. I consider myself one of those kids, by the way. And, you know, you've got to look at it different. The second thing is, if you build an alliance, what people need to understand, everybody thinks in terms of challenges and which conferences can align to create the right challenges. Gary, that's the worst way to do it. Now, I know the power five and Big East can do that because they've got that marketing cachet. But everybody else has to look at it more like healthcare, you know, where you need a broad spectrum of healthy bodies across multiple conferences that can create the right types of matchups in November in order to help our cause to improve our NCAA permanency for our conference champions. And that's the simplistic view of looking at it. It's complicated in some ways, but it's made more complicated by the egos involved of commissioners, athletic directors, and coaches. What I've tried to do here is to take those blinders off, show them a new opportunity, a new way that they can look at their area of college basketball. They may have 10 teams in their conference that are very attractive from a scheduling standpoint. You know, there might be two or three other conferences that have three or four. Well, why not play those other three or four teams? Because that brings value to the overall scheduling and the overall strategic plan of the conferences that I'm working with.
Yeah, and I think it makes all the sense in the world for a really good Conference USA team to play a really good Missouri Valley team or, you know, fill in the blank. It makes so much sense, and they all benefit. I mean, obviously the loser of that game doesn't benefit as much, but they still benefit.
No question, and that's the whole goal, that we can help. Remember, the highest common denominator, know what
right.
I talked about earlier?
Right.
You said policy based upon the highest common denominator. I mean, the difference between a number 14 seed in the NCAA tournament, those teams since 1985 have won 15% of their games in the NCAA tournament since 1985. A number 11 seed, Harry, wins 37.5% of their games since 1985 in the NCAA tournament. That's a 2.5 times greater opportunity to win games between a 14 and 11 seed. So if our goal is to improve our seed in the NCAA tournament as a conference, those games matter. And all of those, every time you play in the NCAA tournament, every round is worth $1.62 million toward your conference and your team. And so every time you win, it's another $1.62 million, as Loyola proved along the way, going all the way to the Final Four. Those are the types of financial benefits from a business perspective. I was looking at what's your return on investment. If you can improve your seed, then obviously your return on investment goes up exponentially at that point. And that's the business side of it that I haven't even talked about. Those are the types of considerations you have to have moving forward in order to build the right type of strategic plan for your particular conference. And that's where I've customized all of those different interacting parts in order to bring a differentiated product to those conferences that fit their specific needs.